Praise and thanks be to our God for his grace, for his faithfulness, and for what he has done for us. If we were to ask, what has he done for us? He has done great things for us. He has preserved us. He has brought us this far. He has given us his word. He has raised us up by his word, so that we can look up to him, thank him, and praise his holy name. It is marvelous to know that we have a God who stands by his word and by what he has spoken. And I believe with certainty and truth that this God is still the same today, not only as he once was or as he will be, but he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So today is not excluded. He is the same. He has spoken to his people from the beginning. He has chosen people to bear his name and glorify his name. They have done it. Right up to our time, he has people who serve him, who glorify his name. Perhaps we would say, where are they who glorify his name? Who sees them? Who hears them? Who knows where they are? If we look at the scriptures and follow them up, as we have also heard in the last meetings, how there was an Elijah, he glorified the name of the Lord. And when his power and glory were revealed, as we have heard, he stood before God and God spoke to him. And he said, I am no better than my fathers. And God said, I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed their knees. And so it has certainly been in all ages, right down to the times in which we live. And I don't know how you feel when we hear the word and God speaks to us through the word. Unfortunately, we cannot take anything from ourselves, nor can we give anything. But if we could, or if I could, I would like to get out of myself. I would like to go to God, to the one who loved me, to the one who purchased me, to the one who still cares for me today. And I believe that all of us who hear the word in the time in which we live, we perceive it, we heed it, and know that the time is very short. Today may be the last time that this word is given to us. It could be today the last time we hear it, and that we are given the opportunity to come to God and prostrate ourselves before him. May God speak to us. May God speak to us through his word. As the Apostle Paul says, I want to read a word before we pray. A very well-known word from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here the Apostle Paul speaks to his contemporaries and says, 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Chapter 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them, and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your face together at this moment, O God, and thank you for your mercy and faithfulness, O Lord. I thank you especially for your holy word that you have given us in this time in which we live, O Lord. You have not only given it to us, you have revealed it to us as the bread of life, Lord, as the testimony, O God, I thank you and ask you, Jesus, my Savior, grant us all grace that this word, Lord Jesus Christ, may work in us and bring about what you send it to do, O Lord, that we may be your witnesses, Lord, as your servants, the apostles were, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have revealed yourself and made your name known, that you have spoken in our time, Lord, and that we may recognize that the time and hour are near when you will come, Lord. We thank thee that by a foolish sermon you have made us free, you purchased us. Yes, you have given us assurance, O my Lord and Savior. We thank you, and we may say, as the apostle said, if we are beside ourselves, it is for your sake. If we are sober, it is because of your word. We thank you for this, and ask you, Lord, to continue to give us grace, reveal yourself, and make your name great. We praise your holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We thank the Lord for his grace, that he makes us faithful and that he sustains us. Not by ourselves, but by his grace, we will be there, and we have the promise. He who endures to the end will be crowned. And it is by God's grace that we have been predestined to behold his glory without merit through his mercy alone. We have already heard much of God's word, and I thought to myself, surely there is no need to preach anymore. After all, these are letters written by men of God. When I think of Paul, who was so connected to God, and from this connection with God, he wrote, then the thought occurs to me, it was done to bring us back into connection with God. I have the impression that all these men of God were connected with God, received the word from this connection with God. It was written down, we read it, and we hear it, in order to be reconnected with God. It is like a divine cycle, and it's very good, for God has decreed and ordained all things through his word, and he will never be persuaded. Never. But what he has said will remain forever. In the last few days, I have been moved by the thought from the beginning of the book of Acts, where it says, and God added to the church those who would be saved or who would believe. The word God added. We long for the hour and the moment when God can add, not where you and I can add this or that, but that God can add. He can use you and me for it, but it has to be Him who does it. There is no other way to build the Church of God. A church can be built by everyone calling and bringing a few people to it, and then it will soon be big, and then it will soon be small again. But when God builds, there is no building in vain, and where God adds, there is no adding in vain. It is a permanent thing. And I believe that to the Church of Jesus, member by member, individually, is added to the body, to the whole. And as Brother Branham sometimes said so beautifully, I've been in the family for so many years, but I never joined the family. I was born into it. And he then refers this to the Church of the Lord. Born into the kingdom of God, into the church, incorporated into the body of the Lord. God added those who were to be saved. And if we are now to become like the beginning again at the end, then we can expect that God will add, and that people whom He adds will experience a transformation. And I wish it for myself in the biblical way and according to the original Christian pattern, as I wish it for all of us and for each individual. Because if we are honest, we all want to stand our ground before God. It won't have helped us just to attend church services and listen to the Word. If God cannot accomplish what He has set out to do, then our listening, it was all in vain, and we could have wasted our time in other ways. But something is pulling us, right? Something is pulling us. Why is it pulling us? The Spirit of God within us draws us to where the Word of God goes forth. And here we think of the story of the colored woman who was so honest. There are very few people who are completely honest. She simply said, I'm still a long way from being what I should be, but I'm not what I used to be either. And she trusted God to do the rest. And that's how it is with all of us. We are honest enough. And if a Paul were standing here today, he would write exactly what he wrote to the Philippians. I count not myself to have apprehended. He would not stand here full of pride and look down on everyone and say, huh, where are you and where am I? No, he would be just as humble, just as simple-minded, and what he was then, he would be today. And he would say, not as though I had already attained, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And this is actually the hook of the whole story, for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. A following without having been seized will not lead to the goal. But if we have really been seized by Christ in our hearts, by the grace of God, then He draws us, and then He works in our hearts, and will not stop until we are perfected. I know we all look at ourselves with great sadness and say, O God, how shall it be? Say how. But when we look to the Lord, we get new strength. And it's good to look at ourselves, to know what we are and who we are, namely a pile of clay that becomes clay or earth again, at least on the outside. And then think about what God has made of us. You may say, you can't see much yet. John writes in 1 John 3, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We can believe that. That is God's word. And you know, everyone sometimes quarrels with themselves and sometimes also with the Lord. I do that sometimes too. And I always ask the Lord for forgiveness, that He shouldn't be angry with me. But I told Him yesterday, if He finds any unbelieving person with a heart as stony as the believers have, then He should let me know where this unbelieving person is. You all know what I mean. Sometimes you speak in despondency, and God hears that too. He won't impute everything, but He will listen, for He knows why we plead, why we say what we say, not out of flippancy, but because we care about our own salvation and the salvation of those God has entrusted to us. And Paul says, I also labor, striving that we may present every man perfect in Christ. It's not just that we become believers, but that we reach the goal. And so, God will surely give us grace and give us a heart like His through all these lessons, that we feel with everyone and understand everyone and inwardly go along from the heart. And in my despair, I read a word that hits me, hits us all for my sake. It doesn't matter. As long as God's word still hits us, it is still good. If it no longer has anything to say to us, then it looks bad for us. But there was another verse that I wanted to read first, from Jeremiah 21. Jeremiah 21, verse 8. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Only this one verse, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death.
Und dem Wege, der zum Tode führt.
God leaves the choice. There's a broad way and a narrow way. God gives people the choice. We know exactly whom He has chosen makes the right choice out of election. And that is a marvelous confidence and strengthens our faith. But here I read a word. It's a list of sins from beginning to end in Jeremiah 9. One of the worst lists of sins in the Bible. But it's prayer time, and we can all bow before God. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Shall I not visit them for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Perhaps up to this point, we could read on. And if we were to read in the prophet Micah and other prophets, we could hear a similar content that addresses us. And it is really on my heart today that we don't sit here and let our thoughts go somewhere and think, huh, that could be him or that could be her, but that God could give us grace and say, Lord, is it me? Does it apply to me? Am I a brother or am I not a brother? Am I a true child of God or am I not? Am I setting a trap for someone else, or am I not? That with all of these words, no matter what they say, what an area they address, from disloyalty to lies and deceit. A deadly arrow is their tongue. Is it mine? Is it yours? Does it apply to me? Does it apply to you? For every brother will utterly supplant, and every friend will walk with slanders. Is a friend no longer a friend? Is a brother no longer a brother? Can we no longer rely on people who call themselves children of God? What time have we come to? I ask myself this evening. And we ask ourselves personally, is this the time in which we now live? And it is said here, it is a very bad saying, it is said here, that they are even struggling. Somewhere it says, they proceed from evil to evil. Yes, here it is. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. What a wrong endeavor to act wrongly. What is the use of such labor? Whom should it serve? Whom should it help? It can only do harm. What time do we live in? It continues. They commit iniquity. They cannot help it. These three words are also much more significant than we are able to grasp at the moment. Cannot do otherwise. Not will not do otherwise, but cannot do otherwise. Are placed in this position. They cannot do otherwise. Are abandoned to something. They can't help it. That is a terrible state. And God forbid that it should apply to anyone. And God help me and all of us to keep the mirror of His Word before our eyes. It says, and every friend goes out to slander. In times past, a friend was a friend, a brother, a brother. What time is it in which we live? Even the friend goes out to slander. Sure, you might confide in a friend a little more than you would a stranger, and suddenly you realize that your friend is not a friend at all. Oh God, what time have we come to? It is an evil time, a serious time. It is the last time. And all God's words are being fulfilled in every area, regardless of whether we want it or not. We are not even asked. Everything is being fulfilled. And labor to do wrong. Here God is not speaking to pagans or to unbelievers, to barbarians, but to His people. And He says, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place, that I might leave my people and go from them. And yet He cannot leave them. He cannot go away, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. And then it says, take ye heed, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Who expects this? Who thinks of it? No one does. Everyone only trusts others for what they are themselves, right? I'm quite honest about it. This is not a conversation here tonight. We have a service tonight, a prayer meeting. But I don't trust anyone else to do more than I'm capable of doing myself. Nothing more. And when people say here, one speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in heart he layeth his weight. Heart and mouth do not agree. And where heart and mouth do not agree, there is no agreement with God and God's word. And that is why we must all submit to the word of God, so that we come into agreement with Him and His word. And then the Lord says, shall I not visit them for these things? It was not just the failure of individuals, a being against one another. It says one sets a trap for the other, one brother slandering the other, one against the other. The relationship with each other and among one another as a whole is described here to a good 95%. And that is actually the lesson we have to learn as believers. To live in fellowship with God and with each other. And that it is a divine spiritual fellowship. That a brother is a brother. A friend is a friend. That the words come from the heart, that a trap is not set somewhere. You all know how traps are set. I've often had to do that. I've done it at home and in the forest, once to catch foxes and once to catch mice. I know the big and the small traps, and maybe some of you do too. But if this is about traps, God forbid. Whoever wants to catch a mouse somewhere should set the trap. And whoever wants to catch a fox should set this snap trap with the spikes. But woe to the brother who sets a trap for his brother. Woe to this brother. This must never happen. God wants to purify and sanctify His people to the core. And God will not start with your suit and mine. God will start with your heart and mine. And the cleansing will come from the heart, taking everything else with it. And in the end, there must be a church without spot or wrinkle in the truthfulness of God, here on earth, called out by the word of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That simply has to be the case. It is not acceptable that this state will be until the end, but that the Lord will have mercy on His people. Do you all believe that God is able to transform us, to add to the church those who are to be saved? And then we stand together as one man and we pray for each other. We believe for each other and we help each other and are a friend to each other and a brother to each other. And with God's help, we will go forward together. when I read this word in my despair. You can imagine what was going on inside me. And yet I know that when God speaks so sharply, His word penetrates, because it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it separates soul and spirit, marrow and bone. And then what God has done in you and me is revealed. Then your tongue will no longer be a deadly arrow. Then your words will not have the flaps set up so that the trap is there. But then there will be truthfulness, sincerity, and faithfulness. Then we have the nature and character of our Lord. And you know very well that a trap was set for Him again and again. People were after Him, whether it was about the Sabbath, whether about this or that, they were always after Him. He didn't do anything to anyone. He went through the crowd like a lamb. They all wanted to do Him harm, but He went the way to Calvary. Let us go this way with our Lord and say, O God, this word is a very serious word. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth. Oh, God speaks to His people. Blessed are the people to whom He can still speak. Blessed are those who can still receive the word of God. Blessed are those to whom God can still say something, and to whom the Spirit can transfigure the word. Blessed is the person who is still drawn to come under the preaching of the word. Blessed is such a person, for everyone can still be helped. But if we stay somewhere and withdraw, I tell you, it will not work. The institution of the New Testament church was not left to Paul or Peter, nor to any other man of God. The Lord commanded His disciples, go into all the world, preach, teach, baptize, and so on. He commanded everything, but He commanded no one, you will build my church. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord builds His church, and He adds His own to it. And when we have been born into His church, baptized into it, added into it, brothers and sisters, then we are members of the body of Jesus Christ, imbued with the truthfulness of our God. Then our tongue will increase His glory, and it will be as in the days of the apostles. Do we not hear them, each one of us, in his own language, proclaiming the great deeds of God? Did one speak about the other? Did one use his tongue as a bow and lie as an arrow? No, they were filled with the Spirit of God. Their heart was overflowing, and of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You cannot lie to your mouth, for your mouth speaks what is in your heart. You cannot lie to yourselves, nor to others, nor to me, no one can. But we see that in the beginning, the Spirit of God, the life of Jesus Christ, was in the believers, and they knew what had to come first. They knew what God had done for them, and they placed themselves at His service and were at His disposal, and God used them. And I think God wants to do the same in these days. This is a word that goes to all of our hearts, a word that is addressed to you and me. And also this word will not return void unto God, but will accomplish what God has sent it to do tonight. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you with all my heart for the words of the Scripture that we have read and considered this evening. Lord, it is more than a mirror. It is like a scale on which we have been weighed. And it may say, Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Lord of hosts, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, remember that we are flesh and you are spirit. But you came to us in the flesh. O Son of God, Savior of the world, you are a faithful high priest, an advocate with the Father. And so we ask you tonight, intercede for us all. And may your blood speak for us and acquit us completely. Dear Lord, this is what we believe and this is what we ask. I have one more request, O God. Make me a true brother to my brothers. Make me a faithful friend to my friends. Lord, may my tongue be bridled and my heart filled with your love. May I carry a treasure in an earthen vessel. Lord, carry this earthen vessel in which this divine treasure lies. Lord, I ask this for myself, for all my brothers, for all my sisters. Beloved Lord, do not go away to a lodging place in the wilderness and do not leave us, but stay with us, for evening has come, O God, and speak to us so mightily, and may the divine effect come in the hour in which your word goes forth through the power of your Spirit, that we may experience what we have heard. Add to your church, build it, hallelujah, on the most holy foundation of faith. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.